This is the Pacifica National Board Governance Committee meeting for Wednesday, May 24th, 2023. This is Beth Von Glickman as Chair Pro Tem convening now, and we'll take the roll. Christina Avalos. Hello, Christina Avalos. Are you present? I don't hear Christina. Rachel Barr?
Present.
Rachel?
Present.
Thank you. Was that Rachel twice?
I'm present.
Thank you. And is Christina Avalos responding too? If not, I'll come back around. Marisol Cruz? Marisol? Don't hear Marisol. Violeta Diamond?
Here.
Thank you, Violeta. Vanessa Dixon-Briggs? Vanessa? I don't hear Vanessa yet. William Foster?
Present.
Thank you, William. Christina Huggins?
Christina asked for an excused absence.
Okay. I'll mark that down. And Robert Lokender?
Present.
And how do you pronounce your last name?
That was fine. Lokender.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Marianne Martinez? Marianne?
Present.
Thank you. Jane Sagerton?
Here.
Thank you. Minerva Sanders?
Present.
Thank you. Jane Schneidler. Jane Schneidler. Schneidler. I don't hear Jane. Aki Tanaka?
Here.
Thank you, Aki. This is Beth Von Glinton. I'm present. Michael D.D. White?
Here.
Thank you. Carol Wolfley?
Present.
Thank you. And I'll review once more to catch anyone who may have arrived since we started. Christina Avalos. I don't hear Christina. Marisol Cruz. I don't hear Marisol. Vanessa Dixon-Briggs. I don't hear Vanessa. I understand that Christina is asking for an excused absence. Jane Schneidler. I don't hear Jane. Okay. Okay. All right. Well, I've got her down for asking for an excused absence. Then we do have quorum, and we'll go on to the agenda. I distributed minutes from the last meeting and the agenda, the draft agenda for this meeting by email just before the meeting. So if you'll check your email, you should all have it to refer to. The agenda as proposed would be call to order and roll call, which we've just completed. Assign a timekeeper, approve agenda, approve minutes, approve an election for permanent chair and take nominations. Number six is distribute confidentiality agreement and consent to meet via teleconference. Number seven is to establish a bylaws subcommittee. And number eight is to set the next meeting. And number nine would be to adjourn. I realize I should probably omitted to include an election of chair pro tem. I chaired last meeting when we weren't able to make quorum and wanted to be sure we had an agenda to work from today in minutes. But before we go further, we should have an election for chair pro tem. I would add that. I would amend the agenda to add that as the next item of business.
There? Carol for the stack.
Carol, go ahead.
Yes. It was my understanding that the confidentiality agreements were going to be handled by the local station boards and the PNB at that level. So I would move to amend the agenda by dropping number six.
I'll ask for whether there is discussion or objection to that amendment. And hearing none, then I would add that those agreements are required. I will distribute them to everyone. I don't know what local station boards may have done. And I don't know that the PNB secretary has acted to secure those agreements from all the various committee members. So I'll send them out and then so that everyone has them and then check with the PNB chair or the PNB secretary. What's the pleasure of this committee? Do we want to, is there any objection to removing that item?
Okay. And this is Minerva to the stack.
Minerva, go ahead.
Okay. And since I'm new being part of the, committees for the PNB, we get, information like Carol just shared, is this something that Carol stated it. Is there anyone else that has this information? Because I would rather have you give us the information that you're talking about sending out. And then if it's not what's taking place, then we have it or destroyed or whatever needs to be done. But I would think that if the PNB had made that decision that at least they would have gotten in touch with the different committees or put that information somewhere where we would all know about it. Or am I, I'm new to this. So if I'm saying something that's not correct, I wish, someone would enlighten me. Thank you.
Thank you. That's a good question. That's what this this agenda item is intended to do. It's intended to provide that information and the forms and answer whatever questions there may be. And then it would let us follow up on it if there's further information needed. But it doesn't make sense to simply omit the item entirely because there are exactly such questions as your own right now. So personally, I would object to removing this item.
Okay. And I guess I would then also say I object to removing it. Thank you.
And okay, I object then, as well.
Okay. Then I guess we need to vote on whether to include that item or not. So a yes will be to include the item and not to amend the agenda. A no would be to delete that item. So we'll go through the roll again. Christina Avalos? I don't hear Christina. Rachel Barr?
It should remain on the agenda.
Thank you. So that's a yes. Marisol Cruz is not here. Violetta Diamond?
Yes.
Thank you. Vanessa Dixon Briggs, are you here yet? I don't hear Vanessa. William Foster?
Yes.
Thank you. Robert Lokender?
Abstain.
Thank you. Marianne Martinez?
Yes.
Thank you, Marianne. James Sagerton?
Yes, to keep it on the agenda.
Thank you, James. Minerva Sanders?
Yes.
Thank you, Minerva. Aki Tanaka?
No.
No. Thank you, Aki. Michael Didi White?
Yes.
Thank you, Michael. Carol Wolfley?
No.
No. And I'll vote yes to keep it on the agenda. And so we have 1, 2, 5, 6, 7, 8, 8 yeses and 2 noes and 1 abstention and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 absences. So the motion carries to retain that agenda item. Is there any further discussion of the agenda? I should ask, is there any objection to including an election for Chair Pro Tem as the second order of business? Hearing no objection, that amendment is adopted. And is there any objection to adopting the agenda as amended? Hearing no objection, then we will adopt the agenda and move then on to electing a chair pro tem. I realize I neglected to assign a timekeeper, so let's do that next. Do we have any volunteers to keep times for speakers? And we'll limit debate to 90 seconds each round.
Chair, this is James. May I be recognized?
Go ahead.
Thank you.
Yes.
As a normal procedure in committee, we don't have time limits on speakers. The PNB has passed a special rule that allows committees, if they feel the need, to assign time limits for speakers. But unless this committee approves such a special rule, we don't need to have a timekeeper. If people are, you know, are willing to be reasonable with their time speaking, if it becomes an issue, we can go to that at a later time if you wish, or you can ask for a special rule now.
Thank you. That's duly noted, and I'll let it go for now. If we reach a point where it appears like we need one, then we can cross that bridge when we come to it. So then let's move on to an election for Chair Pro Tem for today. So taking nomination from the floor.
I nominate Beth.
Thank you. I'll accept that nomination. And who was that? That's so that I've got it for the minutes.
That's Michael White.
Thank you. Thank you. Other nominations? Hearing no other nominations, then I guess we'll consider that. Are there any objections to Beth serving as Chair Pro Tem for the rest of this meeting? Hearing none, That's what we'll do. Next item is to approve minutes. Again, those went out within the last, I think, about a half an hour before the meeting. And they're very brief, given that this committee failed to make quorum last month because it was meeting in direct competition with the personnel committee. And so it was a very brief meeting. I move that we approve the minutes. Is there any discussion?
Chair, this is James. May I be recognized?
James, go ahead.
Thank you. I did look at the minutes and I noticed that I was marked as absent when in fact I was at the meeting. I was present on the Zoom list for the entire meeting. I was periodically going back and forth between this meeting waiting for quorum and the personnel committee, which I'm also on, which was waiting for quorum in competition with this committee. So I might not have been actually in the room the entire time, but I did speak at least once. So my voice should be on the recording. And I would just ask that I be marked as present because I actually was.
Okay. Understood. And I'll amend the minutes to reflect that. I think it may be that you weren't in the room when we actually did the roll call, but I do
That's
remember.
That's entirely it. Possible. Chair, may I be recognized one more time?
Yes.
Just to save time, I think you could do that as a ministerial correction so we don't have to have a vote on it and go through that process of calling the roll and everything else if there's an objection. If there would be a unanimous agreement or no objection to doing that as a ministerial correction, you could just do that the next time you get a chance, and it'll be done.
I can do that now. Are there any objections to that correction, that amendment to the minutes? Then that amendment is adopted. Are there any further amendments or corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, the minutes are adopted. On to item number 5, approval of an election for permanent chair of this committee. It's now May, and this committee has not yet had elections for a permanent chair. I've spoken to Terry Goodman, and he has agreed to make himself available to administer such an election. I guess I would move that we approve a standard Pacifica election process for permanent chair of this committee. And is there any objection to that? Hearing none, that's considered approved. The next step then is to take nominations.
I nominate Beth. And this is Michael again.
Thank you. And I'll accept. Thank you. And are there further nominations? Going once, going twice. Any further nominations?
Chair, it's James. May I be recognized?
James, go ahead.
I don't have another nomination, but I wanted to suggest that since there are some people who are not here, I think maybe we should leave the nominations open for a week and then conduct the election if there are no further nominations, with a notice put out to the other members of the committee who aren't here, just to the whole committee, that nominations are open until, you know, maybe next week on Wednesday, and then the election could begin then. That would give Terry time to get it organized. I know he doesn't need much time, but that would give him a chance to organize it.
So that's a proposed amendment. Is there any discussion of that amendment? Hearing no discussion, I guess we'll consider that adopted. So nominations will stay open for 1 week from today until, I guess, midnight, because that's the usual deadline. And we'll proceed from there. I'll see to it that Terry receives the names and contact information of all the members of this committee and the nominations. We'll line up. He needs an assistant to do that, and we'll take care of that, so that by the time we meet again, this committee should have results of that election.
Chair James again.
Yes, James, go ahead.
I apologize. I did not see the notice for the meeting, but if it did not include an announcement of an election, which I think is required 7 days before an election, this would cure that issue, leaving it open for 7 days, and then we wouldn't have any issue with anyone coming back and complaining later that they, you know, an election was held without notice, or that, you know, people weren't notified that nominations were open. So I think it's a good practice.
The agenda did indeed include, as an agenda item, election process for a chair.
Right, but the question is, was that out there a week ago, 7 days prior to this meeting? And I didn't see it, so I didn't think it was. But if it was, then it's not necessary.
I asked Harry Goodman about that when I spoke to him ahead of this meeting, and he said that actually, because this is still the initial, this committee has not yet elected a chair, it is, by his description, self-evident that it needs a permanent chair, and so it's considered standard process to have an election. But if we hold the nominations open for another week, then indeed we've covered that requirement twice over. So not having heard any objections to that, we'll proceed on that basis. And after those nominations close, then members will receive a ballot, an email ballot in the mail or in the email, and with instructions, including the time for when the polls close. And that should give us a result by the next time we meet. Thank you for everyone cooperating with that process. That brings us to item number 6. And actually, I realize I need to, with distribution of the confidentiality agreement and consent to meet via teleconference. And those are both legal requirements of the state of California, and therefore they're not optional. And I don't have them in front of me at the moment, but I will send them to every member here and with instructions and on how to return them, and we'll take account ahead of the next meeting. I can, if anyone has questions or comments, they're free to contact me. I'll include my contact information with the distribution. Are there other questions now on this process?
Carol for the staff.
Carol, go ahead.
Yes. Can you tell me what is the California code number for that?
I can send it to you with the documents after the meeting. I don't have that in front of me now, but I do have it, and I'd be happy to provide it.
Thank you.
Sure. You're welcome. Any other questions?
Okay, and this is Minerva to the stack. I know that you said you're going to send the information, but just for, like I said, myself and anyone else that might be new, and I'm just going to state the confidentiality agreement is, in essence, stating that information that or items discussed in this meeting is not shared with the world. Is that correct? I'm just, you know, trying to get good understanding.
That's a good question. It's that any information identified as confidential, that you would agree to hold that as confidential. The meeting proceedings, such as this today, now, are public. And the public can tune in. I would like to think that at least a few people are tuned in by way of the web to listen live, and there will be a recording available to the public afterwards. The minutes will be open to the public. But if this committee, given that it's a national committee and having to do with governance, there may arise an occasion when the committee might be asked to address confidential material. And in that circumstance, we would go into closed session. And to be eligible to go into closed session and receive that confidential information, we would need to have a signed confidentiality agreement ahead of time. And beyond that, California law requires that if we meet by teleconference, all parties have to consent to that for that to be legal. And that, for the record and for future reference, all participants are required to be audible to all other participants at all times. It's not, and that's what constitutes, that's what documents your legal participation in the meetings. And so simply sending a text or an email or something in the chat to the effect that you're present or that you vote one way or another doesn't count. Legally, that doesn't count. What counts is your audible participation. That's our legal record of your presence and your participation. And when it comes to votes, then it's the legal record of your vote. So that needs to be signed.
All right.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. It really does. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions?
Go ahead. Violetta to the stack after Carol.
No, you go ahead, Violetta. I've already spoken, please.
Okay. Mine is concerning this, but it's also general. Has it been ruled that California law supersedes like bylaws and other things having to do with Pacifica?
That's a good question. I would ask that everyone please, if you don't have the floor, could you please mute your phone so that everyone else can hear? Thank you. Pacifica is incorporated in the state of California, and that means that California law applies to everything Pacifica does, wherever it takes place. And these are national meetings and taking place actually across the whole country. So that's what lays the groundwork for our legal propriety. And then the bylaws apply to Pacifica. The law of the state of California and federal law would supersede anything if there's a conflict between the bylaws and the law of California or the U.S. Then the law takes precedence. Next would be Pacifica bylaws, and beyond that, within Pacifica, in terms of our procedure for meetings, the bylaws stipulate Robert's rules. So it's in that descending order of precedence. Does that answer your question, or did you have something more you wanted to know?
That was it. I wanted to know what supersedes if there was a conflict. Not saying that there is. I just wanted to know what the pecking order was.
That's a good question, especially for the governance committee. So thank you for that. Are there other questions?
Yeah, Carol for the staff.
Carol, go ahead.
Yes, this is a question for the committee. And so I believe that there have been a number of instances where confidential information has been shared in open session in governance meetings and other meetings. Somebody, James Stegerton, I think there's some sound coming from your square.
I'll mute. Sorry. I don't hear it, but I'll mute.
That's all right. That's all right. What I'm wanting to say is, if we are in a meeting and people are making confidential statements about other members or other staff members in open session or in relation to, other disciplinary actions. So then, because one of my concerns is that because this committee and the local station boards have not had training in anti-bullying and confidentiality issues, that there can be situations that arise where people are bringing confidential information in open session, or they are engaging in inappropriate comments, slander, libel, in closed session. How are those issues dealt with? And so I had understood that the PNB was going to be providing anti-bullying training nationally, and that they had done that for some of the staff, and that was going to be. So my question to you is, and to the other members of the committee, how do you see your own selves in relation to that?
Thank you, Carol. Yes, I agree that Pacifica boards are generally greatly in need of board board training, and it's been simply a lack of funds, I think, that has meant that we haven't had more training available to us. The executive director did arrange for free training for LSB members and staff, and I think that extends to committee members too, and I will contact her and ask her to provide that information to all the members of this committee, following up on that. And I would go on to say that there's a distinction between members of governance and members of staff. And members of staff are protected by labor law, by the provisions in labor law that protect employees' privacy, which means that if there are concerns about individual staff members, whether by name or by position, if it's information that can identify an individual staff member, that can be addressed only in closed session. That's absolutely protected, legally protected information. And it's part of why we require the confidentiality agreements before people are permitted to take part in closed sessions. But that's the place to address those issues. My understanding is that those protections don't extend to volunteers and members of governance, such as we all are, and that's been the point of contention or debate within the law, but that's the best information I've been able to get to date. And I would just say that if anyone has reason to think that any inappropriate any confidential information is being named or addressed inappropriately in public session, that's the moment to raise a point of order and for the chair, whoever it may be, to stop that, to prevent that from happening. Because that entails, if that's permitted to continue, that entails liability for the organization. And so anything that if people have issues regarding comportment or evaluation or whatever that have to do with personnel, first, this isn't the personnel issue or the committee. There is a personnel committee. But beyond that, if it has to do with Pacifica standards and protocol, then the thing to do is to request that we agendize a closed session so that those things can be addressed confidentially, get them out in the open in the protection of a confidential session and where it can be aired. But at any point, if anyone thinks that there's confidential information being shared inappropriately in open session, do please raise a point of order immediately so that the committee can address it immediately and correct that, not compound an error like that.
Carol, for the staff.
Carol, go ahead.
Yes, I appreciate your consideration of protecting staff. I know that has been a huge issue, and it continues to be an issue for some of us at KPFA in terms of false accusations against KPFA management. But one of the concerns that I would have, Beth, is that our bylaws are supported by Robert's Rules of Order. And Robert's Rules of Order has very definite and specific protections for board members and other members. So that there is, under the section of Robert's Rules of Order, there is a section called Engaging in Personalities, which means that when you mention names, that should be ruled out of order. And I have heard that done not only at the, in the governance committee meetings, but also in the P&B level, that names are mentioned and it has not been addressed. And so that would be a concern. And also any disciplinary actions, also the beginning of them and all disciplinary actions should be handled confidentially from the beginning to the end. So these are issues that have come up, and I want to give an example of if you have a situation where the person isn't at the meeting, but the violations of Robert's Rules of Order are taking place in that meeting, they may not be able to raise it. So I think that before people are asked to sign a confidentiality statement, that they will hold confidentiality for what's going on. That takes away the protection of people to raise their issues in a safe environment. So I advise members of this committee to consider how we can have communications that are fair and how we can protect our individual rights to have respectful communications.
Thank you for that, Carol. If you could cite those references in Robert's Rules and distribute them to members of the committee, I will review those myself. It's good that we've taken a look at this in advance of any At this point, it's just a hypothetical, and hopefully it'll remain that. I thank you for letting me know that it's a concern. I would encourage all members, if you don't already have a copy of Robert, the current issue or the current edition of Robert's Rules, which is the 12th, I would encourage you all to get that, because it is written into our bylaws, and it's the way Pacifica, all Pacifica committee meetings, board and committee meetings are to be run. And it's an excellent reference, especially for the governance committee, which is where we deal with the kinds of issues that are spelled out in Roberts. If you'd like to send me that reference, Carol, I'll circulate it to the rest of the committee if you'd rather do it that way. Either way, I'd like to see to it that everybody gets that reference.
Thank you.
And I'd like to have it for the minutes too, if that's okay.
Sure.
Thank you. Is there anything else on this issue before we go on? Any other questions? If not, then we'll go on to item number 7, which is a motion to establish a bylaws subcommittee. And I can provide some background on this. California, first of all, as we've already established, Pacifica is incorporated in California, meaning that California law applies to all aspects of the function of Pacifica. And California Corporations Code, including the nonprofit code, is updated regularly, routinely, every 3 years in the legislative session to update and further elaborate nonprofit law. And to the best of my knowledge, Pacifica bylaws have not been updated or reviewed for compliance since we adopted the new bylaws more or less about 20 years ago, meaning I have no doubt probably about 7 cycles of legislative updates out of date. And so I'm proposing that before we do anything else about bylaws, I know that there is concerns about the bylaws is often one of the main things that brings people to this committee. But before we do anything else about the bylaws, it would make the most sense to go through our bylaws and check them against current law to be sure that we're in compliance with, that we're not so far outdated that the bylaws put us at risk. And I think it probably makes more sense for a small committee of people who have some expertise in the law and such reviews to do that rather than for us as a rather large committee to try to do that in monthly meetings. So I'm putting forth this motion that the Pacifica National Governance Committee recommends to the PNB that the Governance Committee Bylaws Subcommittee be established to review Pacifica bylaws for compliance with current California law and to propose appropriate updates as necessary. It doesn't mean that they would unilaterally decide what those changes should be, but they would identify any place where current Pacifica bylaws are inconsistent and out of compliance with current law, identify those places to this committee, and then this committee would carry it to the PNB along with their recommendations for bringing Pacifica back into compliance with current law. So is there any discussion about this motion or questions?
I have a question.
And may I ask who it is that's speaking?
Oh, you can't see the screen? Okay. It's Rachel.
I'm on by phone. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So I'm Rachel Barham from BAI. I'm a listener, elected representative, and just a minute about my history. Back in the day, I was a producer for 10 years and a paid staff employee. So I have two questions about this. The first question is really not a question. It's more like a comment. I think if we vote to form this subcommittee, which I think is an important thing to do, that what has to take place is, ensuring that the powers that be are indeed following those bylaws, no matter what station they are from, because there's been an awful lot of non-compliance, if you will, with the bylaws that are currently in, that we're following or we're supposed to be following. And I would think that needs to be fixed and rectified prior to the possibility of changing any of the bylaws if we find out that we're not in compliance with the bylaws as stated in California. So I think that we have to take care of that first before we make any changes in what is already there. I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel. I would point out that this committee doesn't have any power, doesn't have authority to enforce anything anywhere. It's an advisory committee to the PNB. I recognize that there are disputes about compliance throughout the network. We have long, complex bylaws that make that the longer the bylaws, the more complicated it is to try to comply with all of it all the time. And those issues will be outstanding. From my perspective, I think to hold up a necessary update for compliance until everyone is satisfied that everything is in compliance with the bylaws as they are, outdated though they may be, would mean we'd never get around to bringing our bylaws into compliance. That's my perspective. Is there anyone else who wants to comment on this?
Carol, for the stack, I realized you can't see my hand when I raise it because you're on the phone, Beth.
Thank you. So yeah, I do hear when you ask for the stack, I do hear that and I appreciate it. And thank you. Go ahead, Carol.
Okay. I understand the complexity of a lot that's going on. I am very curious if you could tell us a little bit more about some of these, if you have any specific examples that you can give us of differences with California corporate code and our bylaws at this time, if there's anything that you're aware of.
I don't have an example from our bylaws per se, but I've sat through a few seminars about this and there was a prime example that was used in those that I can offer. And that was that it used to be that it was pretty routine practice for various boards to have, what did they call them? Board members and I forget the term now, but someone who would stand in for a board member if they weren't able to be present.
Proxy.
Yeah. And there's another term too, and I'm sure it'll come to me, but and that used to be allowable. But there was a case in California courts. This was based on an actual court ruling where it led them to revise the law to say that there are no, I want to say assistant, but that's not correct. It's we'll use the word proxy, board members, either a board member, either someone is a board member, full-on board member, or they're not. And there's no kind of legal gray area where some days they might be and other days not, because there was a split decision on a board, a disputed decision. Some voted for it, some voted against it. It passed, and the organization was sued because of that vote. And the party that sued the organization won, and everyone who voted against that resolution was exonerated because they had decided the same way the court did. But everyone who voted for that resolution was found liable. And those who were listed as alternate, that's the term that they were using, as listed as alternate board members, were also found liable, even if they hadn't cast a vote. And the court explained that that's because they hadn't overtly voted no. They hadn't overtly voted against it, even though they may not have been afforded the opportunity. And based on that one case, California law changed to say that alternate board members are no longer allowed. They're not legal. And there, I can attest to the fact that there are many nonprofit boards out here who haven't gotten that memo yet, even though it's at least a decade old now. And they may get away with that until they run into problems, other legal issues, and bring that to light, at which point they'll be found out of compliance and possibly liable. And it's those kinds of sleeping issues that may not come up until we're in the midst of a legal dispute, that it's better if we find those things ourselves rather than just let them fester until circumstances bring them to light. And I wish I had an example directly from our bylaws, and I have no doubt that we'll come up with those examples as we go through them, but it's exactly the fact that we don't know where those errors are now, those places where we're no longer in. It may have been in compliance when we wrote the bylaws, but it's no longer in compliance now. Does that help shed any light on?
Yes, it does. It makes it a little bit daunting to think about how members would explore all of the recent revisions of California corporate code in relation to the bylaws.
There are. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
There are legal organizations out here that make it their business to identify all the significant changes in each one of those every 3-year updates. And there will have been 6 or 7, I don't know, maybe even an 8th one by now, but there will be a systematic way to do that. And it'll be those kinds of tricky compliance issues will be more likely in some articles than in others. I mean, it's not. Some articles, especially at the beginning, are pretty concise and pretty matter of fact about where our address is or whatever. Those kinds of things won't be called into question. But given that Pacifica bylaws are especially detailed about membership and those kinds of issues and process, I'm guessing that that would likely be where we'll find more of those things. And to me, it makes more sense. Before we all start proposing our own changes and arguing them back and forth, it would make sense to be sure that what it is we're arguing over is actually already verified to be legal, at least, so that we can then argue about what our preferences are for Pacifica. But it doesn't make any sense to be arguing over things that we aren't even sure stand up to the the current law. Any other questions?
This is Minerva to the stack, and I have to say that, again, I keep bringing up new, but this would be helpful for myself and others, and probably for some who've been here for a while, to get an understanding of what the California changes are for nonprofits, and giving us time to try to bring the Pacifica bylaws into the future. And understanding that, as you said, we can make these suggestions or recommendations, but we don't have any authority. But still, it would be good that everyone be made aware of what California is saying and what our bylaws should be aligned with.
Thank you, Minerva. That's exactly what the intention of the motion is.
Oh.
Are there other questions, or can we? If there are no further questions or comments,
yes, then... Bill Foster.
Bill.
Yes.
Go ahead, Bill.
I know it's been my experience in dealing with these things that you usually get legal professionals to make recommendations about the bylaws, to review them and make recommendations in regards to whatever state laws we're dealing with. Now, in this case, it's California. So that might be the role of this committee to obtain some legal professional consultation.
Thank you. I think that the reason we haven't done that to date is that costs more than we have at our disposal. We do work with one California nonprofit legal firm who handles a lot of our California-based litigation, and I would propose that there are, we have people with expertise among us who are already fairly familiar with specific bylaws. I think we're getting interference on one line. I don't know if that's wind if you don't have the floor, I would ask everyone to mute. Thank you. So it would be my hope that we would make use of our own internal legal expertise first, and have this committee review the results of the subcommittee, and then pass on our recommendations to the PNB, and that before they adopt them with any finality, I would then propose that having had us do the homework first, that they would then run our proposed amendments past that legal firm with special expertise in California nonprofits, because I would want them to check our work. This is what they do all day, every day, and they're no doubt more up on the cutting edge than we are. So I agree that we should get legal advice, but I think that in order to keep the costs down, it pays for us to make use of our own internal expertise first, and then submit it to council only after we've done that preliminary work. Does that make sense?
Well, I also like to add that we can also utilize law students, the community law clinic. You know, it's low cost. They do this kind of stuff all the time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Good point.
James, for the sec.
James, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to say that we have at least one lawyer on this committee. We've got others with legal experience. Within the foundation, of course, anything that we come up with, we're going to be aiming it to the PMB, where they will be considering it and figuring out what to do, if anything. And, of course, we have our corporate counsel there, and he works with the firm that you mentioned, the for-purpose law firm in California. So we will have adequate ways to check and double-check. And I would also point out that we're not the first organization that has to come up against this sort of situation. Many other organizations have had to go through this, and there are materials out there that we can look at to help guide us in what we're doing. So I also agree, of course, with you that we're pretty much broke, and it will be difficult to spend much money on legal advice on these matters. But I think with the, as you point out, Beth, with the resources we have, we can do a pretty good job, and also reaching out for other resources, we can do a pretty good job of sorting this out. And again, as you pointed out before, we don't have any authority to do anything. We're going to be sending what we get to the PNB, and then they'll decide what to do. We're doing the homework, as you said earlier. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments, or concerns? If not, then is there any opposition to this motion? Hearing no opposition, is there someone trying to speak?
Yeah, James is asking a question.
James, go ahead.
I'm wondering, were you going to put parameters on this, like how many people, you know, timelines or anything of that sort? Or you just want to establish it and leave it open-ended at this point? What were you thinking about what we would be proposing to the PMB?
I can put parameters if people would like to do that. I was trying to keep it as simple as possible, but there was a previous bylaws subcommittee that of six people, and that seemed to work well. It was small enough to keep it very functional and encourage a fair amount of activity without being so small that all the work would fall to too few people. So I guess I would propose that it be a committee or a subcommittee of six, and that we should ask for anyone with legal expertise to volunteer first. I'm willing to volunteer for that committee, having paid a lot of attention to bylaws and bylaws assessment and gotten sought out training on this sort of thing in the past. And so I would propose that this be a subcommittee of six to be determined by the committee.
Do you want to say how, like by STV voting or by consensus?
I was on this committee once about, I guess it would be 4 years ago now, it was in 2020, just as an LSB member at the time. But I don't know how that membership has been determined in the past. I would hope that those who have experience or legal expertise would step forward to offer their help for this. Maybe those positions were assigned by the chair in the past. Are there others who've been on this committee long enough to know how that was determined previously?
Carol Stack.
Carol, go ahead.
I think just people volunteered, and it was, you know, whoever volunteered was fine.
Okay.
I also, Chair, with your permission, I'd also like to note that Jane has joined us, and she's with us, and also that Vanessa Dixon Briggs has written to us that she's at a convention in New Orleans and there was a problem with the time change, and so she'll be at the next meeting.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate her conscientiousness and yours in keeping me posted. So thank you. And I'm marking that down as we speak. Okay. So I would further articulate that this subcommittee be established as a subcommittee of six, as determined by the committee, and it sounds like the committee's content to let people volunteer for that. I would suggest that anyone who's interested or willing to take part in that, contact me, email me between now and the next meeting. Let's see what we can, we'll have to wait till we get this passed to the PNB, of course, but I'd like to try to get us on track to get this started if possible.
Michael, back.
Michael, okay. Go ahead.
I wonder if rather than proposing that it be a committee of six, perhaps we should say a committee of up to six. We're going to have volunteers. I don't have a sense yet of whether we're going to have six people volunteering.
Good point. So I've written that in. To be determined by the committee? Is that sufficient? So what I have now is moved that the Pacifica National Governance Committee recommends to the PNB that a governance committee's bylaws subcommittee of up to six be established to review Pacifica bylaws for compliance with current California law and to propose appropriate updates as necessary.
Rachel, for the staff.
Go ahead.
Excuse me, before Rachel, before you speak, I thought I saw Christina joined us and her hand's been up for a while.
Yeah, I don't see her on the screen now, though.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry. I apologize for getting in late. I just saw the minutes and it showed that I was absent. So I'm still confused as whether I'm supposed to be in this meeting or not. I just want to support in any way I can. Am I supposed to be here?
Is that Christina Avalos?
Yes, yes.
Yes, this is Beth Van Gunten. I'm chair pro tem today. Okay. I thank you for making an effort to come. And as far as I know, yes, you are supposed to be in this committee, and you're welcome to be here. And thank you for making the effort to be here.
Okay, great.
And I will make it a point to get the Zoom log from last time just to verify who did show up at some point and who didn't. Again, because there was a simultaneous meeting of the personnel committee, neither committee actually made quorum. And I think that some people checked in and checked out of both committees more than once. So I will confirm attendance by way of the Zoom log. And if there are any further amendments to be made to the attendance, I'll bring them back to the next meeting.
Okay.
So welcome, Christina.
And Rachel, can you give me just a moment? I thank Beth. We had a meeting where it was brought up that individuals who were delegates and their time had expired, that they couldn't be a part of the committee, but I felt that we resolved that. And it stated because of what the PNB had done and extended people's terms that people were able to still be on committees until an election was held. And I may be wrong, but that's what I understood we talked about in one of the meetings.
That's my understanding of the PNB's ruling on that from last fall, and which applies yet to this day. And fortunately, we're on the verge of the elections being launched, and it won't be long till we have a new result directly from membership to resolve all of this. Until then, I'll abide by the previous rulings of the PNB. but thank you for raising the issue for clarification. And who was it that just spoke? Who was it that brought that up?
I'm sorry. This was Minerva.
Minerva, thank you. For those who are new to me, I'll catch on pretty quick soon. Thank you.
So this is Rachel for the STAC.
Rachel, go ahead.
I need something clarified, which is the following. Am I correct in understanding that we have to propose a question to the PNB that we can do this as the governance committee to review, as it were, the bylaws and ensure that we're in compliance with the California code?
My understanding is that for any committee to stand up a subcommittee, we now need PNB approval. And I think that's because there was some extra special enthusiastic standing up of the task forces and subcommittees last year that got to be when so many different entities are stood up, then it makes it hard for any of them to find time on the calendar or to meet without putting the other bodies in jeopardy of not making quorum, as this committee didn't last time. So as a consequence of that, we now need approval, which it's a, you know, an extra step and more complicated. It means we have to spell out exactly what we have in mind. But they're probably worse things.
Okay.
Hence this motion. And this the need to update the bylaws has been talked about a fair amount at the national level for a while. We just haven't had a process in place within any of the committees to do that. And it was one of my priorities in volunteering for this committee this year. So I hope we find a way to do it.
Okay, and I just wanted to make a comment that I think that there should not be a limit of six people. I think that it should be extended past six. I'm done. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, this is Minerva to the STAC.
Minerva?
Can we then say that the minimum be six? So that
we do have one amendment on the floor now to limit it to up to six. And we need to vote on that first. Maybe that's where we should go next. I don't know whether, Michael, when you spoke, did you get to finish what you were saying? You had concerns?
I think I expressed it very simply that, you know, we don't have a sense, you know, we only have, 14 people on the committee, whether or not we're going to have that many volunteers. And so we may not be. If we required a committee of six volunteers, we might not get that many.
That's true. And I would point out, too, that anything that comes out of this subcommittee will come directly to this committee, where everyone will have a chance to have their say about it before we determine together what to pass on to the PNB. But for now, just to move the agenda forward, we do have that amendment on the floor to stipulate that it be a subcommittee of up to six people. Is there any opposition to that amendment?
I'm sorry, you said, this is Rachel, you said up to six?
Yes, that's Michael's amendment.
Okay, so I'll say no to that amendment.
Okay, then if there's opposition, then we need to go to a vote. So we're voting now. on the amendment to this motion to stipulate that it be a committee of up to six. So a yes vote would be to approve that amendment, and a no vote would be to oppose it. So, Christina?
Yes.
Thank you. And Rachel Barr?
I oppose it.
Okay, so that's a no. Thank you. Violetta Diamond?
Yes.
Thank you. And Vanessa is still not here and won't be. William Foster?
Yes.
Thank you. Robert Lokander?
Yes.
Thank you, Robert. Marianne Martinez?
I apologize. I'm not too sure what we're voting on.
This is an amendment. There's a motion on the floor to stand up a committee to review the bylaws for compliance with California law. Gotcha. And originally I had suggested committee of six, and Michael is offering an amendment to state up to six, because he says it's not certain that we would get six volunteers.
I got you.
And so a yes is to approve his amendment of stating up to six members, and a no is not to approve that.
Yeah, I will say yes.
Yes. Thank you, Marianne. James?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, James. Minerva?
I'm sorry, yes.
Thank you, Minerva. Jane Seidler?
Yes.
Thank you, Jane. Aki Tanaka?
Yes.
Thank you, Aki. Michael?
Yes.
White?
Yes.
Thank you, Michael. Carol Wolfley?
Yes.
Thank you, Carol. And I'll also vote yes. And I think that, let's count. Moment. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 yeses, 1 no, and no abstentions. So that amendment passes. Now as to the original motion, I'll read it one more time with that amendment in it. Move to the PNB National Governance Committee recommends to the PNB that a governance committee's bylaws subcommittee of up to six be established to review Pacifica bylaws for compliance with current California law and to propose appropriate updates as necessary. Is there any opposition to that motion? Hearing none, that motion passes without opposition. That brings us near the end. We need to set the next meeting date. After the last meeting, I went to KPFTX to post this meeting date, and I set aside the fourth Friday of every month throughout the rest of this year so that we have at least those dates reserved, and hopefully other meetings won't be scheduled on top of those so that we shouldn't have further difficulty meeting quorum after this. Are people content with that, or is there interest in meeting more often than that? That really only leaves us 8 meetings or so this year. I know I've heard some people express interest in holding meetings more frequently than that. So is there a proposal from the floor for a next meeting date?
Carol, for the stack.
Carol, go ahead.
Beth, I thought I heard you say the fourth Friday, and it was my understanding we were meeting Wednesdays.
You're right. Forgive me. And thank you. See, that good catch. Yeah, I did intend to say the fourth Wednesday. So thank you for keeping track of me. Much appreciated. And I hope that that's clearer now. I don't mean to throw anybody off. So yes, the fourth Wednesday, we have at least Wednesday, the 28th of June scheduled. If people want to meet before that, this is the chance to propose to do so. Thank you, Carol, for that.
Yeah.
If not, then if there are no proposals to meet sooner than that, then our next meeting will be Wednesday, June 28th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:30 p.m. Pacific. And we hope to see you all then. We should have results of our election by then. And I will carry our newly passed resolution motion to the PNB for action at their next meeting. Thank you.
May I be heard on a comment?
Yes.
Go ahead. I just wanted to request a meeting more often. I think since you have gone to the effort of scheduling the fourth Wednesdays, if we feel the need to have more meetings, if we get a lot of work done and we're moving at a good speed and we need more meetings, I think we can try to schedule them when we need them. I realize that'll be more difficult, but perhaps that would also, rather than encumber ourselves with a lot of meetings that we might not need, maybe that would be the way to do that. So that's just a comment, not a proposal.
That makes sense to me. That makes sense to me. But the committee always has the option to do that. And we can cross that bridge. Are there any further parting words before we adjourn?
Carol, for the stack.
Carol, go ahead.
Yes, Beth, you had requested that I bring that Robert's Rules of Order section, and I'll just mention it now. It's in the rules of decorum in debate. It's 42.21, refraining from attacking a member's motives. So that whole section on decorum in debate, in my edition 12, it is on page 371.
Thank you. I'm writing that down. 371. Very good. Thank you for that, Sam.
Yeah.
I'll send that around. I'll look it up to be sure I have it right first, and then I'll send that citation around for people's consideration before the next meeting. Anything else before we go?
Yes, thank you.
If not, then thank you. Thank everyone for taking time to come today and for such a blessedly orderly meeting. This was really a joy. So.
Yes.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Good evening, everybody.
That was a great
Good evening, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Good evening.
Thank you.